A, tukaj ste. Buge vas primi, igralva poslušalka. Pridite, pridite, na hladno. Dobrodošli na medvednarodnem festivalu Plavajoči grad. Tukaj le imamo muzičarje. Tamle imamo gledališko bando. Tamle pa medveda. V soboto in nedeljo 9. in 10. avgusta prisluhnite radiju Študent neposredno z gradu Snežnik.
Človeku se zgodi, da je na festivalu, mogoče se zjutraj zbudi in se sprehodi naokrog, čaka na neko kavo in med čakanjem se usede tam na eno travo zraven in se po nesreči znajde na neki pripovedi za otroke. In pol ta človek, ki je mogoče tudi mičken v kakšnem stanju, mogoče mal neprespan, ugibamo, stereotipiziramo, no. Mogoče tudi mičken skurjen, no. Ta človek se pol zave, da v bistvu to je pa kar fajn in pol se zave, a ja, jaz sem v resnici na Floating Castle, na festivalu, kjer je v resnici veliko enih predstav, veliko tudi za otroke in veliko lutkovnih predstav. In potem se človek malo usede in prisluhne in pogrunta, da je včasih v redu. Včasih pa tudi. Ne, radio študent. V glavnem, Tjaša iz redakcije za kulturo in humanistiko je rekorderka v tem, koliko lutkovnih predstav lahko pogledaš v koliko dveh, treh, koliko dni, kar štirih dneh. Vsak dan si kaj gledala.
Vsak dan,
ja. Ja, nič, najprej si začela s teatrom Matita, ki je kar med organizatorji.
Mislim, da organizator.
Da organizator, ja. Tako da Solce je otvoril.
Tako je. In to je bilo pravzaprav zelo pretresljivo, polno nekih preobratov, še preden smo sploh zares začeli. Kaj ti? A ne? Mi se, a ne, seveda v družbi, kot se spodobi, a ne, spravimo tjale sred enega gozdička, da si bomo na nekih skoraj jasi pogledali ljudkovno predstavo Harms je kriv, dost nedavna zadeva teatra Matita.
To je bilo malo bolj odmaknjeno od tjale.
Takole, tako malo strana, ne, strano tega mainstream dogajanja, ljudke so malo nišne še dan današnje, tako pač je.
Še na festivalu, kot
še
je
še na festivalu, kot je ta, kdo bi si mislil. No, malo ja, malo pa tudi ne, ne, v bistvu imajo kar lepo mesto, tukaj moramo priznati. No, in se mi odpravimo na predstavo Harms je kriv in pride, a ne, Matija Solce, organizator Floating Castle, igralec v predstavi Harms je kriv in naznani, da predstave Harms je kriv ne bo, kaj ti, zato bi mogel razstaviti harmoniko, ki jo je verjetno še kakšno uro ali pa manj nazaj igral, a ne.
Pa jo bo še potreboval tekom tega festivala.
Prav res je in potreboval jo je, smo slišali. Mogel bi tudi razstaviti Sesavc.
To bi bilo malo lažji sicer.
Malo lažji, pa mogel bi še najti neko klavijaturo, ki jo je nekam založil. Tako da to ni bilo dobro. In ni bilo čist jasno, ne, ker on ima pa neko tako odrsko prezenco, kdaj se je sploh ta predstava začela, pač mi smo bili tam, reševali smo probleme, čakali smo, da se konča koncert na sosednjem stageu. V glavnem stvar je bila meta, še preden se je sploh začela.
Se pravi, si se sama odločila, kdaj se predstava začne?
Jaz sem se odločila, da se začne na začetku. Aha. In meni je bilo to odlično. Ne?
Na začetku, ko je še, a mi daš več vokala v monitor?
Ja, koliko časa bo še trajal un koncert na sosednjem stageu, a mi prineseš pando, ki pač nastopa v predstavi, mimo grede, se pravi, nismo še omenili. Predstava je bila potem Happy Bones, ne? Ki je druga predstava teatra Matita, starejša. Pa zato nič manj čudovita. Jaz sem jo tudi že videla sicer, ne? Kar se je pa zgodil v tej ediciji te predstave je bilo pa to, da je Matija, ne, vsem tem, ja, doživljaj prav zares, se pravi iskanju lutke, iskanju scenografije, iskanju ja, je iskal tudi v bistvu so izvajalca, a ne, nekoga, ki bi izvajal glasbo a ne, pri tej predstavi in je našel neko nič hudega sluteče dekle, ki je pričakovalo, da bo gledalka in je postala igralka. Nje je v bistvu z mikrofonom, na mikrofonu obrazložil, kaj bo počela, takrat, ko se on ustreli, pa potem poveduje celo predstavo. In jaz moram reči, da kot nekdo, ki je že videl to predstavo, se mi je zdel to nek res fantastičen moment, ker mi je bilo blazno zabavno, sam poslušati, kako nekdo zelo, neprizadeto pove to, kar sem jaz v bistvu že vedela. In potem to še dejansko izvedemo, pa pač Solce je res odličen animator, tako da najprej začnemo s tole pando in potem pač preskoči na kosti z metodom, ki ga verjetno poznate, kajti on je urednik redakcije za kulturo in humanistične vede. Sva se pogovarjala, pa se jaz se sicer dost rada pogovarjam o dlaneh, ampak moram reči, da se še z nikomer nisem toliko pogovarjala, oziroma
o dlaneh.
O nikogaršnjih dlaneh se nisem še pogovarjala toliko kot o Solcitovih. In ena zelo krasna izjava, ki je pač metodova, je, da ima Solce najbolj artikulirane prste, kar jih je kdaj videl, in s tem se lahko sam strinjam, tako da, ker pač ko on animira te kosti, je to v bistvu samo del lutke preostane, ki je pa njegova roka, in pač smo videli tudi še kakšne druge predstave, recimo Katanari tudi dost dela z rokami, pa tako.
Se pravi, od animiranih rock festivala, ki je nekako, on je, dajmo reči, ne srce festivala, ampak on je animirane roke festivala.
Ja, tako bi lahko temu rekla.
Katera predstava te je še navdušila?
To sem pa šla celo dvakrat pogledat. The World of Musin Bey, nek turški duo. Tukaj imamo pa lutko v naravni velikosti, ki je pač spet odlično animirana. Se mi zdi, da mogoče sem na tem festivalu ugotovila, da mi je zelo pomembna dobra animacija. To je dost lahko
gledati. Se pravi, dobro upravljanje te lutke.
Tako. Ker v bistvu prvi del te predstave je sam neka res fantastična animacija starca.
A to gre, se pravi, lutka v naravni velikosti, a je to 3D lutka?
Seveda. Tako da v tem primeru neka zelo hiperrealistična, pač krasen izdelana lutka. Deluje pa tako, da je v bistvu, se pravi, trup, glava, je pač lutka umetno, pa ena roka, druga roka je pa animatorkina roka, tako da lahko tudi kaj prime, kaj naredi, pa animatorka tudi posoja noge temu, tej lutki.
Se pravi, tako malo sloni na njej.
Tako. V bistvu ta rikelc, suknič, lutke je zapet okrog. Animatorke, da v bistvu ju to nekako povezuje. Pa ona je spet odlična, njen fokus, čeprav pač jo vidimo tam za lutko, ampak njen fokus je toliko usmerjen na lutko, da pač gledaš samo lutko in ona uspe imeti ta fokus na lutki in hkrati spremljati občinstvo, ker je to lutko zelo interaktivna z občinstvom. To je nekako prvi del in pol se pa vmes zgodi en hud pretres, namreč ta lutka hoče začeti peti, pač plesuje že, zdaj hoče še peti, ampak moramo reči to, pač ni mimična lutka, se pravi, ne more odpirati ust, posledično ne more peti in to ga pretrese, ampak ugotovi pa, da občinstvo pa lahko proizvaja neke zvoke. In tako se zaveda, je lutka vstopil v kontakt z animatorko, se pravi, se vzpostavil tudi nek odnos in kar je meni bilo v bistvu pri tej predstavi zelo ganljivo, je da, ker se v tem prvem delu že toliko interakcij ima s publiko, da v bistvu vzpostaviš nek odnos s to lutko, s to pač neživo stvarjo, ki pač deluje kot živa. Ja, potem v tem drugem delu, se pravi, ga pa nekako pospremimo skozi to njegovo krizo, in potem se tudi razvija še nadaljnje neka njegova nesrečna ljubezen ali pa mogoče srečna, se ne vemo. In ne vem, neki taki zelo lepi momenti so meni se recimo zelo vtisnil, ko on ponudi glavnik nekomu iz občinstva, da ga počeše in potem to on dela nazaj in je v bistvu neki zelo človeškega in se mi pač nek lep moment mi je v tem da se mi zdi, da se v tej interakciji z lutko, se pravi z nečim neživim, se mi zdi, da se res lahko pokaže zmožnost razsežnosti človeške empatije, a ne, do kam lahko seže, če nekaj dojemamo kot, pač kot živo, kot neko bitje, a ne.
In navdahnemo malo
sploh,
življenja.
Sploh, če je v krizi, ne, revež.
Od te krize do malo bolj morbidne krize, imamo krsto.
Imamo krsto, aleluja, pač.
Ja, jaz sem te srečala lih v trenutku veselja, ker bo krsta.
Ja, ampak takrat ni bilo krste.
Ampak takrat ni bilo krste.
Veselje je bilo kmalo konec. Dajte nam krste. Ampak moram pa reči,
krste v lutkovno gledališče.
Krste nazaj v lutkovno gledališče, ker krste so bile v lutkovnem gledališču zelo prisotne. Sploh recimo češko gledališče ima zelo močno tradicijo. Tega, ne vem, lahko se reče rakvičarna, pač neke take farse. A ne? Se pravi, tukaj imamo pa zlasti ročne lutke. A ne? Mogoče si lahko predstavljate, se pravi, ko imamo nek tak zastor, a ne, in potem zgoraj okence, se pravi nad glavo animatorjev, včasih zavesicami, včasih brez, in tam noter so te lutke, ki je pač na animatorjevi roki. A ne. Tako da to so te ročne lutke, čist pač neka tradicionalna oblika lutk. In te ročne lutke so take, lahko so zelo dinamične, hitre, so tudi recimo za razliko od, ne vem, mogoče kakšnih marioneta, ne, ki so tam na nitih, a ne, to je vse občutljivo, se lahko zaplete, strgajo, joj, malo počasi gre vse skupaj. Ročne lutke so pa blazno dinamične, tudi neobčutljive, ponovat so tako recimo iz lesa, blaga in kaj tacega, ne, kombinacija. In one se lahko med sabo pretepajo, pobijajo in to smo recimo tudi videli na festivalu Floating Castle. Imeli smo enega Čeha, bil je z nami Jirka Polehnja, upam, da sem prav rekla, in je pač imel tako čist neke take klasične zgodbice s krsto, a ne?
Okay, ne.
Kar nekaj smrti smo doživeli.
Kaj je to klasična zgodbica s krsto?
Ja, pač, ne vem, imaš recimo tam enega enega prašička najprej, a ne? In potem pride še en, ne vem, gledo je kot nek mal dvorni norček, kaj jaz vem, a ne? Pa potem pride še en tretji starec, mi mal majo frke, veš, kdo bo koga kje, a ne?
Aha.
In pol pač se prikaže kladivo in prvi drugega potovče, pol pride smrt, kaj to ni všeč, pa prvega potovče, mečejo se v krsto, skratka, tole je bilo kar divje. A ne, kot se zaročne lutke spodobi, pa še v bistvu je...
Ja, ker so zelo dinamične.
Ja, aj kazu to, ki mislim, da daš v usta, pa tako...
Pa svojim glasom upravljaš.
Ja,
kazuje.
No, to je on uporabil za tele lutkice.
Da so lutke govorile skozi kazu.
Ja. Super je bilo. In pol vsakečke je ali smrt koga ubila, ali kar kol. A ne, pol je nekdo probil biti smrt, sam smrti ne moreš ubiti, pa pol ustane iz krste. Pač, a veš, pač,
to je problem, ja.
Krsta ima toliko veliko vlogo v teh v tovrstnih burkaških zadevah, da pač je skoraj da sama zase lik. Zato jo imam pač res rada. Pač krsto rabeš, da pospraviš truplo, a veš.
Yeah.
In trupel pri ročnih lutkah se kar nabere.
A imaš še kakšen, mogoče splošen nasvet, kako se načeloma lotiti obiskovanja predstav na floatingu? Se vemo, da je zdaj konec, ampak kako bi se človek nekako orientiral v tem prostoru, ko ne veš zares, kako in kam se umestiti?
Ja, mene vprašaš.
To je super nasvet, za me je to kar delovalo.
No, super. Ampak drugač pa se mi zdi, da je vsem gledališkega programa manj kot glasbenega. Tako da se je mogoče malo lažje znajti. Pa tudi par je takih, bom rekla, stalnih gostov festivala, ne vem, Teatro Matita, Katanari, Dafa Papa Theater, to smo recimo vse že videli tudi z drugimi pač uprizoritvami na festivalu, tako da potem pač, ko enkrat vidiš, te lahko to recimo nagovori, aha, nekdo, ki sem že nekaj videl, ne, od njegovega dela in mi je všeč in pač se znova vrneš, lahko pa kaj probaš, a ne? Tako, zakaj ne? Ker pač recimo, jaz tudi nisem vedela za večino teh stvari čist kaj pričakovati, pa pač kakšna reč me je malo, bi rekla, pustila hladno, morda.
Uh-huh, kaj te je negativno presenetilo?
Zdaj bom omenila lih to, česar sem se v bistvu najbolj veselila, kar je, se vemo, pri na splošno v življenju so pričakovanja, mm-hmm, po mojem, kar relevanten faktor.
Slučajno ta krsta, ki je ni bilo?
Mislim, to je bilo kar pretresljivo, ampak je bil še en bolj pretresljiv moment. Namreč, jaz sem se zelo veselila predstave od Duffa Puppet Theater. Mm-hmm. Pač to je neka palestinska kompanija, ki mislim, da pač ta Husam Abed, ki večinoma to, oziroma pač njegove predstave sem do zdaj videla, delo večinoma na češkem tej. In ne bi bila neka predstava Warmaker, ampak ni navedel razloga, ampak je rekel, da te predstave tukaj ne more izvesti in je bil sam nek posnetek, pa sploh ne posnetek predstave, ampak je bila v bistvu pač montaža delov predstave, pa lahko smo si pač pogledali scenografijo, tako da to ne samo, da ni bilo krste, ni bilo predstave, predstava je bila
to pa krsti. To pa je razumljivo razočaranje. Ni niti toliko kritika predstave, ampak...
Ne, kritika situacije, bilo je hudo, bilo je težko, ampak k sreči je bilo veliko drugih predstav, ki pač se niso izognile v dejanitvi in je bilo kar fajno. Pa tak, se mi zdi, da je bil res pester program, ne? Se pravi od tega, ko smo omenjali ročne lutke, neka zelo klasična, tradicionalna tehnika do pač predmetnega gledališča, nekih bolj modernih stvari, se pravi, ne vem, namizne lutke smo imeli, tudi Kamiši Baje, recimo, ne, ki je to pripovedovanje ob ilustracijah, tako da je bil, se mi zdi, da kar razgiban program. Mm.
Ja, hvala ti za ta povzetek, res si se zavzela, tako pred nami je list z vsemi predstavami, ki si jih je Tjaša ogledala, pa to so samo lutkovne, no, in je list kar. List je kar.
List je kar.
Tako da hvala ti za ta povzetek. Zdaj veste, da se dogajajo tudi druge stvari kot samo muzika in kakšen nelutkovni teater. Prepeljte naslednje let magari še svoje froce, če ste bili letos tako, o ne, mi pa ne moramo zdaj, ko smo družina, ja, vsi lahko pridete na floating. Mi bomo zdaj vam dal malo dihat, poslušali bomo Lenkar Tapes.
Velik del festivala Plavajoči grad, o katerem letos še nismo uspeli govoriti, je scenografija. Eden od treh temeljev v bistvu samega festivala, poleg lutk in pa etnoglasbe, ki se pa seveda vsako leto še razširi z še kakšnim elementom. Organizatori so zapisali, da scenografke, kiparji, performerji, slikarji in arhitektke s pomočjo prostovoljcev že pred začetkom festivala zasnujejo in osmislijo prostore nastopov, urejajo nove stezice, postavijo trge in odre. Jaz imam zdaj tukaj prav posebno čast, da imam dva gosta. Ta prva izmed njih je Larisa Kazič, vodja prostorskega koncepta in dela z scenografijo, scenografka sicer, živjo. Poleg nje in poleg mene pa seveda sedi še Tomaš Žiška, who is the set director, curator, authority in site-specific art, head of the set design unit in DAMU. This is the theater faculty of the Academy of Performing Arts in Prague. And also, if I'm not mistaken, the mentor of Matija Solce back in the day.
Yeah, I was basically, I can start it from that point. That is very, very good also for me to have it some kind of good feedback of the initiation of relation between student and pedagogue. Mm-hmm. What is very good that you can invent it, either something, just basic question. I asked Matija when he was studying, what you will do when you come back to the Slovenia? What you will do? What do you know? What mm-hmm. will be? And he said, well, okay, I will travel around the world and make the whole to this cultural world. But I say, come on, yeah, it's fine, but what is the relation with the society in the Slovenia? It is not about my invention to Matija, but always we have this question to students, basically what they will do when they finish it. Mm-hmm. The school, what can give just like power or in inspiration on in action. Yeah. So basically, this was beginning with when we started, and Matija comes also with that is already doing some ethnohysteria, and this is perfect. Ethnohysteria is functioning for music. I say, come on, where is the theater? There's no theater. Mm-hmm. That means this was the first year in Gračišće.
Yeah, the beginning. Which was mentioned about like traveling the world and stuff. I think is reflected in a bit in the Ethnohysteria Orchestra, which has members from 35 countries, if I'm not mistaken. It's like a 90 people orchestra. But next to this ethno music, puppets are also a very big part of Floating Castle Festival, and also the festival that was here before 2013 when the festival Floating Castle officially started. Mm-hmm. So I imagine that even back in the day, Matija was interested in all of these three elements and combining them in the, you mentioned. Mm-hmm.
It comes very naturally. In fact, all the setup where the festival can take the place, it can be paradoxically or nicely the partner, the space as the partner. So basically this is site-specific feelings of history of the space or either location, condition, atmosphere, all the setup, what in have inspiration for the artists. Mm-hmm. And this is why we started also the first 2011
was Festival Hysteria.
Was in Gračišće. Yeah. Yeah. Somebody in the kitchen that just said 9, but 10 or 11, I'm out of this order, of these numbers. But basically started also with my atelier, half year preparing for the intervention to this space, where was not water, not canalization, not fire, not engine, nothing.
Mm. All well, there that was the community of this village, the Čišće, and that was actually the
important thing
here and there, like to connect and also to try to create something with the people that are there.
Mm. Yeah, exactly. That's mean, and also there was the like kind of local story about Šavrinki. It was the ladies, what they always come with the eggs through this forest, and this was exactly miracle of that potential side that this landing Šavrinki in the night, some egg can be open up. Mm-hmm. And some kind of mystery comes. Mm. So this was the basic idea.
Yeah, yeah.
We always find some like general theme that tries to connect like all the spaces, like sound installations, that is connecting the space and also connecting it with some local stories. So maybe to give us some context, like or some base from where we create. But then this goes like in very abstract
way
direction.
But for sure is also what you ask for example about the relation between government and this free artistic community or some kind of atmosphere in the society or Slovenia or in general European or in the world. So basically each year it's coming also something what doesn't look like just objective fronts, facade, but it's also kind of like testing how we are far with communication with government. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
For example, what this year
the
also
the cultural minister came.
Yeah. So it's something. Some broken down the prejudice.
Yeah.
How many years we are already here, and we just this year get it some spaces what is nearby. So basically,
but yeah, when we were choosing a topic, we still didn't really know how all this will came out with Pristave and if we will get some spaces or not, because it's
is going on for several years. So that's why we also choose this topic of Butalci and maybe this absurdistic logic. and also then connect it with King Ubu and another level of ruling, maybe that is also a reflection of the world that it's and the things going on now. And then the third level was also trying to implement like this layer of Palestina and the war, and actually the, but more with some kind of reflections of all these words and maybe consequences, like what you get if you are.
The world is full of populism and theses, and that's been this Uburoa can be very good answer, that can be also stressy for the hierarchy, how our contemporary structure of the society is built. So basically we don't want to deconstruct, but just bring this question mark on that. Okay, it has to be very popular, but this populism can be something else than the popular. That's been his populism is sometimes too flatty. And we try to go a little bit deeper.
And it was more about asking questions than giving answers, no? Yeah. So it's like the spectators, they were in the role to find the answers or maybe to ask themselves or to reflect. So that was the idea, that they are included somehow in all this space and they discover the festival area through maybe some really specific perspectives, no? So to maybe see the world through different filters or.
But it's also somehow the basic that we try to test it also the population, how it's reactive to the different, with different sensors to the location. Okay, it can be very flashy, just prepare for the seeing. And that means it's also the smelling or hearing.
And it's on many levels, I think, because it's not just decoration, it's also some utilitarian objects such as the trash cans, which is also designed.
We try to, but not always. It's, of course, it's just like curiosity also for us to let it a little bit this kind of kind of improvising.
Can you maybe mention just what this year is, some of the new things and some of the things that we were talking about previously off the air will be here for a bit more time than just the time of the festival?
So, we tested some new positions of the stages, some new location. Maybe it's the first time we actually used Pristave as an active stage place, so
not
that was like
the,
normally we had there like infrastructure and the backstage, it was green room and the artists were gathering there, but now we decided that we would like to expose this area because maybe also to come in the conscience of the visitor that there is like all this space that is empty. So that's why we exposed and we placed I think around 5 stages there. And then we were, we try also to activate some parts in different ways as previous years. So maybe some stages, we always try to use the circumstances that are there and to not to do against them, but somehow include them. So if there are like some natural amphitheaters and that kind of things, we try to adjust to that, no? But sometimes also some contrast came out really nice. Or
This is again the kind of mentality from this or some kind of methods of site-specific. As many, you have to listen to the location, somehow to adapt it your body and to have also feeling of the physicality of how many people can come in some location.
And the festival is growing every year, so you have to accommodate more and more people. Just today we heard from the organizer that 5,000 people were visiting in the 4 days, but also a huge number of volunteers and artists.
This is also like to make it functional home, what will be not just disturbing some just hippie camp, but it will be something what is much more the society wanted to hold it, and how we can adapted ourselves to this process and programs. What are not just programs of the artistic views, but it's also cleaning, or how is the managing the space. This is also how is the services are here. Okay, we have a lot of things to do better.
Yeah, it's always space for improvement.
But when we started just with, I remember that these first years when we come from Prague and with the our technique, and just I said just 40 of the lamps and some huge amount of the cables, and we were just like, wow, shocked how big is the area.
Yeah.
So maybe just to finish up this site specificity of this space, how much opportunity do you have to work with places as huge as this, as diverse as this, and also as filled with content as this?
We are also like it that somehow we have to think always about locals. And this year I can say this was my, probably from outside, prejudice, probably Butalci is too far to be irritated, like artists irritate locals. Who they are, the Butalci? Who we are, or they are, or who is there? This kind of critical satiric moment, and now we come that. That for ourselves, of each of us, is Butalets.
Yeah.
Not locals. That I remember the allegorical year where we just invited heroes from locations, and each day have some kind of
personal story.
Villager. Even personal, like interviews, with these locals. Doesn't mean we are a little bit over now. Not to be just folklore from locals, but also in contemporary acts, like how they are behaving to us. Mm-hmm. Who is that everybody know in the village? Who is the priest? Who is the doctor? Who is the teacher? But who is the artist? This is question.
Yeah. So to finish with this question, thank you very much, Tomáš Žižka and Larisa Kazic, for your time.
Mi delamo, ampak nič ne dela, nič ne dela, nič ne dela. Mi delamo, ampak nič ne dela, nič ne dela. Mi delamo, ampak nič ne dela, nič ne dela, nič ne dela. Mi delamo, ampak nič ne dela, nič ne dela, ampak nič delamo. Zdaj pa vse spet dela, vse spet dela, dela, dela. Zdaj pa dela, Radio Študent.